Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome to our Palm Sunday service. Who knows why it's called a Palm Sunday service? Anybody know? Do we just pick a day in the year? What is coming up in a week's time? What's coming up in a week's time? Easter. Right. Easter is coming up in a week's time. And the Sunday before Easter, which is today, we celebrate Palm Sunday. Now, where do you think that comes from? Do we just go, I want to celebrate with palms? No? Where do we get the things that we do as a church? Where do we get them from? Oh, we got the palms. We got the palms from down there. But where do we get the idea of carrying palms? From? What's there? The Lord's Word. The Lord's Word. And today, we're going to read the story about Palm Sunday. A story where people were celebrating, and in celebrating, they brought palms or branches of trees to the Lord. So in our picture up there, can you see people carrying palms? It's not terribly clear, but you can see there's palms there. Can you see that? Right. That's the story we're going to read about today, about people celebrating this joyful, happy celebration and the bringing of palms. Now, before I read the story, I want to ask a question. What makes you happy? What are the things that you do that make you happy? You laugh. You like to laugh. Makes you feel good inside. What makes you happy? You like the stories in the Bible. Makes you happy, right? And you like to rest, just resting from your hard days of study and school. Yes. You like the prayer. You like praying. Makes you happy inside. Sorry? Singing. Singing makes you happy. Yeah, I like singing. It makes me happy too. Ryan?
Reading.
Okay. What makes you happy? Horse riding makes you happy. Alrighty. Who's got their favorite video game that they like to play? Video. That's so old-fashioned. Hey? Who's got the Nintendo Wii or your PlayStation, or you got a game that you like to play? Or on your cell phone, Candy Crush, or... What's your favorite game? Okay, Genies and Gems, right. Minecraft. Okay, there's lots of things that we do that bring us happiness, isn't there? Right. But there is one thing that brings us a happiness unlike any other. A joy and a happiness that comes from deep inside. And that only the Lord can give. That's the happiness that the Lord talks about in this Bible, in His Word. And the Lord talks about wanting to bless us with that. The true blessing that the Lord wants to give us is this joy, is this happiness, is this peace that comes from deep inside. And today's story tells us about that joy and happiness and where it comes from. So if you have your pew card, you can turn to your pew card. We're going to read the story of Palm Sunday. It's taken from the book of Matthew, and it's found in all the Gospels, but we're reading from the book of Matthew. Now when they, that is the Lord and His disciples, when they drew near Jerusalem, and came to Bethphage, which was a little town on the outside of Jerusalem, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her." All right. I see my batteries are running flat, so let's see if this works. Okay. There's a picture. A donkey and her foal. The Lord said, loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. Okay, so the Lord did this because hundreds of years before, when the Lord had spoken through the prophets had told this, the people of Israel this. The prophets had said, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the Lord had told the people through the prophets many hundreds of years before to look out for, this is a sign that I will send to you, the king is coming on a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down branches of the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, which means save us now. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the Lord is coming into Jerusalem, and what is he riding on? A donkey, a little donkey. Is it a big animal? Have you seen the size of a horse? A real horse, not a pony. You get ponies, and then you get horses, okay? Don't you think a king would have come in on a horse? Isn't a horse big and strong and fast and beautiful? Yeah. And a donkey? Donkeys, it's a nice enough animal. Right? So the Lord could have come in on a horse. There's a white horse. If we read about Revelation, the book of Revelation, it talks about the Lord on a white horse. But why did the Lord come on a donkey? What is this? What is that? What is that? A robot sign. Okay, this is a sign that you see on the side of a road. Okay. The Lord came on a donkey because if you think of the Lord sitting on a donkey, that is a sign, just like this robot is a sign. If this robot looks like that, what is the sign telling you? You can go. And what if the sign looks like that? What is it telling you? It says stop. Okay. So what if we see a donkey? What sign is the donkey telling us? If we think about signs and we think about the stories that the Lord tells us in His Word, every story, if we think about it, and we can see that picture in our minds of that story, that picture, yes, is a sign. It's telling us something that perhaps we don't yet know about. So let's think about a donkey. The children of Israel, the Jewish church, when they saw the Lord on a donkey, what did they think? King, a crown. Someone to come and rule, someone to fight for them, someone to lead them into battle and destroy all their enemies and make them into a great nation. Is that what happened? No, that wasn't the sign that the Lord wanted them to understand by a donkey. So what is another sign? What if we think about this, if the Lord doesn't mean a king to rule, where else can we find the Lord ruling in our lives? Where do we find the Lord? If He's not a king ruling in this world, where do we find Him in our lives? What are your thoughts do you have?
Maybe it means that he should be going to church.
Right? Okay. All right. So thinking about the Lord, and perhaps I should go to the church. Yes? What do you think? The teachings of his ways. Okay, good. I like it. Right. So the Lord is king when he's king of our hearts, and when he's king of our minds. That's what the Lord really, well, that's how the Lord speaks to all of us now. When we think about donkey, we think about our minds. Okay? What kind of animal is a donkey? Is it obedient like a horse? Okay, a donkey is a hard-working animal, if you can get it to work, okay? But it can be very stubborn, and it cannot listen to you. Think about your mind. Your mind is very hard-working, but can you be stubborn? Okay, children, do you always listen to your mom and dad? No. Do you always tidy your room when they say you need to be tidied, or brush your teeth, or have a bath when they say you need to have a bath? No. We're stubborn, aren't we? And adults, sometimes we know better. We should be doing things that are supposed to be better for our lives, and we stubbornly stay stuck in doing something that's unhealthy, something that is perhaps hurtful. Our minds are like a donkey. It can be very hardworking, but it can be very stubborn. But did the Lord use the donkey? Yes. It pleased the Lord to use the donkey. It pleases the Lord that we have the mind that we have. So a donkey is a mind, image or a sign of our mind. So let's take this a little further. Donkey on the one side, mind on the other. If we go back to the reading, was it just the donkey that came in? What did the disciples first put on the donkey? We go to verse 7. Who wants to read verse 7 for us? Who wants to read verse 7? Any takers? Okay, I'll read it. So, the disciples brought the donkey and the colt. And what did they do? They then laid their clothes. So like I've got a cloak on, they perhaps took their cloak off and laid it on the donkey. So it was the donkey and then clothes on top of the donkey. And then on top of the clothes, what did they put? The Lord. Then they set the Lord on top of those clothes. Okay, so we can see there on this side, the donkey covered with the clothes, and on top of that, the Lord. And that's a sign. If we think about the traffic sign as a sign to govern traffic, this image of the Lord, the clothes, and the donkey is an image to us of something in our lives. So if our mind is the donkey, what are the things that we put into our mind? Or what are the things that are on our mind? When you're struggling with something, you say, I've got something on my mind. Okay? It's not really sitting on it, but it's in it. Yes? Ideas. Ideas. And where did those clothes come from that were put on the donkey? It was from who? The disciples. And the disciples were taught by the Lord. So where do you think those true ideas, or those ideas that go on the donkey, where do they come from? The Lord's word. True ideas. The Lord gives us our mind. He gives us his word, and we come to church and we learn about it. We go to Sunday school, we learn more about the Lord's word and what the Lord teaches. We have our parents who help us learn more true ideas about the Lord and his ways. Those true ideas sit on our minds. So what sits right at the top? Does the Lord want us to just know stuff? Aren't we just supposed to be gathering stuff? No. If you want to be a musician, if you want to be a musician, what do you need to first gather to yourself? What are the things you need? What do you need to know to be a musician? Notes. You need to know the notes on the piano or the guitar or whatever instrument. What might you need to do? Right, you need to know the instrument. Okay, this is how it works. These are the keys or these are the strings. Okay. And then you're done, aren't you? Not. Vocals, okay, if you want to sing, you need the vocals. And then that makes you brilliant, isn't it? I know how to do it. I'm brilliant. Now, what do you need to do then? Practice. You got to put the things into practice. Otherwise, you never become a good musician, or you never become a good soccer player. You never be able to do well at school if you don't practice and do your homework. So, sitting right at the top. Oh, that's not the thing I had there. It's changed. There are gremlins in the machine. What I want that to actually say is useful life. Useful life. We are given this mind. We are given all the things from the Lord's word that tell us His way, how we should walk, what the things are that we can do that is caring and helpful to other people. And then we need to go out and practice. Practice it. Live a useful life. Being useful is about going to people and finding out what they need. If someone is sad, what might we need to give them? If someone is sad, a hug, some comfort. If someone is struggling with a decision or struggling with an idea, we might give them some other ideas, might share some experience. Well, this is an experience I had, and this is what I learned. To live a useful life is to know what another person needs and to be able to then give them what they need. So is it useful if I do what I want? Mostly. If we love what we do, that's what the Lord wants. For us to love, to reach out to others, find out what they need, and to give them what they need. And when we do that, there is celebration. I want you all to shout with me, Hosanna. Okay. Okay, let's do that together. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna. Okay. In celebration, and that's what today is about. Celebration was the ultimate of the story. The Lord coming in to Jerusalem and everyone celebrating and shouting, Hosanna. Okay? And you can imagine the joy and the happiness and the people finally feeling, well, there's hope and there's possibility of peace for us as a nation. When we have a mind, when we know what the Lord's true ideas are, and when we go out and reach out to other people and give usefully to them, the joy of the Lord fills our hearts. The joy of the Lord fills our hearts. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church. This idea of a useful life is the purpose behind the Lord's creation. If you want to know why the Lord created you, it was for a useful life, to be able to reach out to others. I want to read to you. It's from a book called Heaven and Hell. It's this book, Heaven and Hell. And you can find it free download online if you'd like. All the pleasures of heaven. All the pleasures of heaven. What is heaven like? Is heaven a happy place? Absolutely. All the pleasures of heaven are united, are joined to forms of service and dwell within them. All the joy of heaven, all the happiness of heaven is linked to serving other people. Because the forms of service are the good effect of love and thoughtfulness that angels are immersed in. Okay? When we are thoughtful about other people, when we consider, well, what is the best for them, and we look to wanting to do the best for them, we are acting from love. Love and thoughtfulness, and the good effect is the joy and the happiness that we get from helping those people. Consequently, the nature of each individual's pleasure depends on the nature of that individual's service. In other words, everyone is unique. Everyone can experience the Lord's pleasure of heaven in a multitude of different ways, because it comes from your heart and it comes from your thoughts that no one else has. And the Lord is able to give you the joy and the happiness according to who you are. And its intensity or the amount of joy and happiness depends on how much you enjoy doing. Huh? So this is the treasure that the Lord wants to bring to our lives. The joy that we are to look for and to celebrate. That in giving of ourselves to other people and wanting the best for them, in doing that, the joy of the Lord fills us. The more we give out of love, the more joy the Lord gives us. And the more joy the Lord gives us, the more we give out with joy to other people, and the more the Lord brings joy to our lives. This is heaven. Can you feel that? Can you imagine that? You giving to other people, being filled with the Lord's joy, and from that joy, giving even more and receiving even more. And this is the cycle of growth that the Lord inspires in us, that the Lord teaches over and over in His Word. That when we have our donkey, when we have our mind, when we have the true ideas from His Word, and when we reach out in useful service to other people, the joy of the Lord, the celebration of the angels are with us, inwardly, inwardly making us happy. We don't need the things of this world to make us happy. That's just external happiness. But the true, real happiness that the Lord teaches over and over comes from inside. The more we're looking outwards to others, the more the treasure of heaven is planted deep within us, that joy and that happiness of heaven. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, you have given to us your word, and the beauties of your word are contained within those images, within those signs that you leave in the stories. And Lord, as you open up those signs to us and reveal their deeper meaning, Lord, we can see the true King that you are in our lives, that you are there to rule over us in love, to rule over us in reaching out and how to walk in your ways and how to heal ourselves and other people. And Lord, we ask that as we go out into this week and think of Easter, that we think of the joy of Palm Sunday, the promise of joy in our lives if we can put you as King, if we can think about your way in all that we do, and your way is to love others. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.